But when he goes out and he sees Bathsheba bathing on the roof, he says, he saw. And at first it was probably just a quick glance of this woman bathing on the roof. But you kind of get this picture in your head as the night goes on that David didn't just glance once and say, well, maybe I shouldn't be looking at this and let me go back inside. Let me distract myself. There's where he could have used a good distraction, right? But instead, the meaning behind what David went through there was he didn't just look. He looked. He looked longer than he should have. He never turned his eyes away, so to speak. To where once he started looking, he started thinking. And once he started thinking, he started wanting. And once he started wanting, there was no stopping what he wanted. All because he wouldn't turn his eyes away. He was distracted. Oh, but this is a man after God's own heart, right? This is a man who loved God, who served God, who wrote quite a number of the Psalms that we read about. King David, the one that's honored and revered through Scripture. King David, the one that is in the lineage of Christ. And yet, even though his heart and his mind was on serving God and on God's commandments and on doing the Lord's will, it was because he didn't turn his eyes away from shameful things, as we'll read about in just a moment at the end of this psalm, or useless things or worthless things that his eyes saw and his eyes wanted. And so I want us to think about it. There's something in our lives that is distracting us from our spiritual goals of heaven and following God and serving God. What do we need to turn our eyes away from? Maybe, like David, it's another woman or man that you shouldn't be with. Maybe it's a lust of the flesh. Maybe it's something in your heart. Maybe it's nothing that your eyes are actually physically looking at, but it's the idea that you need to turn your head in the other direction. You need to turn around. Stop focusing. Stop looking at the sin. Stop looking at what could be in this world. Start focusing on what the Lord wants. Because did you notice how he finishes this? Some of your versions would say it this way. The New King James says, revive me in your way. Some versions will say, help me focus on your way. So he starts verse 37 by saying, turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things and help me focus on the Lord's way. I don't want to be looking and focused on the worthless things that are distracting me from following God. So help me look away from these things and help me revive my ways in the Lord's way. Help me focus on the Lord's way. Help me get back to doing things the Lord's way. There has to be that turn. There has to be that transition. And that doesn't just happen with our eyes. Like I said, it could be something we physically need to look away from, like David did with Bathsheba. But it might just be something as simple as our heart needs to make a change. And you know what I really believe that is? And even though he doesn't use the word here, but I believe that the meaning is there, is repentance. It's figuring out that what you're doing and the distractions that are in our lives, the sins that are in our lives, they're not taking us down the path and the way that we would know we should be going in. And instead of continuing to look that way and walk down that path, he's saying, take my eyes away from this path and put me back on your path. Isn't that the definition of repentance? A spiritual U-turn. Recognizing you're going the wrong way, you're looking at the wrong things, there are distractions in my life, there are sins in my life, and I need to go this way, the Lord's way. I need to focus on the Lord. That's what the psalmist is getting at here. But he takes it one step further. He doesn't just leave it at, okay, well, turn my eyes away, let me focus on God. Then he takes it to, how do we focus on God? And you notice what he says there in verse 38? He says, establish your word to your servant. If we're going to distract ourselves with godly things and get rid of all the distractions around us, we have to establish ourselves in God's word. If you want to, put your finger there in Psalm 19, and let's go to the very beginning of the book, in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, you get this beautiful picture of this tree. And notice what he says here, starting in verse 1. He said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." You notice what even this psalmist says here. He says, blessed is the man, if I can add words into here, some of the thoughts that kind of parallel what we're talking about this morning. Blessed is the man that is not going to be distracted by walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who won't be distracted by standing in the path of sinners or sitting in the seat of the scornful. In other words, he understands what it means to walk, sit, and stand with the counsel of the ungodly, the sinners, and the scornful. And he won't be distracted by those things. Instead, what he's going to do is he's going to delight in the law of the Lord. He will establish himself in God's Word. It says he meditates on it day and night, so that he becomes like a tree that is planted by the waters, whose roots are so deep in God's Word that when the winds and the storm come, they won't be shaken. It brings forth fruit. The leaf will not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. Why? Because he has planted himself in the Lord's law, in God's Word. But first he made a decision to not sit, walk, stand, or sit with the ungodly and the scornful and the sinful. You won't be distracted by that. He's going to turn away from those things. He's going to focus on God. He's going to focus on the Lord and to be established in the Lord's law. Back to Psalm 119. He keeps going there in verse 38. After he says, "Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you." Completely devoted to God. Not only are we going to try to focus more on the Lord, how many of us made New Year's resolutions or New Year's goals this year? I think I'm going to try to focus more on God. I'm going to try to focus more on spiritual things. Well, then what typically goes with that? I'm going to read my Bible more. I'll try to pray a little bit more. Maybe get a little devotional book I can do in the morning before kids wake up or before bed. You know, all those things are great. But if we're not devoted, if we haven't made up our mind to be devoted to God, then the goals and the resolutions that we set to focus on Him, they're going to fall by the wayside. And then we're right back into the life we've always been in. And that's why I love what the psalmist says here. You see him walking through the steps of the heart that needs to change to do what God wants us to do. It's one thing to be established in His Word and to focus on His Word, but if we're not devoted, how many of us have started Bible reading plans but given up? I have. How many of us have started to pray more but given up? How many of us have started to attend services more regularly but given up? Because we're devoted to what our heart really wants. Think about it. When you're devoted to something, you give it everything you've got. That's what the psalmist is trying to say here. Be devoted. Establish your word in your servant who is devoted to fearing you, to respecting you, to honoring you. I don't just want to focus on you, God. I don't just want to be established in your word. I want to be devoted to you. I want my life to be like your life. I want to be holy because you are holy, as we've been talking about in our upstairs class. I want to be devoted to God. We devote ourselves to so many things. Sports teams. We wear our hats and our shirts proudly and our jerseys. We cheer for them. Rick says, if I'm not spending the hour and a half on Facebook, like I found out, I'm checking on the Dodgers. That's right.
Stop devoting. To devote ourselves to families, and rightfully so. We devote ourselves to friends. We devote ourselves to our work. We devote ourselves to so many things because that's what's important to us. And what the psalmist is saying is, God, I want you to be important to me. I want to be devoted to fearing the Lord. He says one last thing. In verse 39, he says, turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. I like the way some other versions say it. It says this, turn away. Turn away from shameful things. Turn me away from shameful things. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. In other words, he can look over his life and he can see all the distractions in his life. He can see all the dreadful things in his life, all the sins, all the temptations, everything pulling him in all, so many different directions. And he says, turn me away from these things. These things are shameful. These things are reproachful. And I want to be more focused on your judgments. He says, your judgments are good. Help me abandon my shameful ways. For your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts and revive me in your righteousness. Doesn't a lot of this sound like what an athlete goes through? When I think of that guy Jack holding up that sign of his face, trying to be a distraction. When I think of everyone and how many thousands of people will flock into stadiums for these sporting events, and it seems like in those last minutes when you need that last second kick, the last second three-pointer or free throw, the crowd gets louder and louder and louder. And there's a reason that at the end of the game they could say things like, I just tune them out. I don't even hear it anymore. I don't even see it. It's because, maybe not on a spiritual level, but much more on a physical level, they have turned their eyes away from distracting things, and they have focused on what they are doing. They are so focused on playing their game, on making their shot, on getting their kick. They've established themselves in their craft. You know how many hours they have spent shooting the basketball, kicking a field goal, completing the pass. They spent hours and hours devoted to their craft, devoted to their sport, just so when the time comes, they can look over the crowd. They can hear it, but they don't really hear it. They've tuned everything out. They turned away from those things. The devil is screaming in our ears, people. The devil is screaming at us, trying to get us to do anything to get us away from God. He's trying to distract us by any means necessary. And he will use any tactic in the book. Only when we want to turn our eyes, when you and I make the decision to turn our eyes away, to focus more on God, to establish ourselves in His Word, to be extremely and wholly devoted to God, to turn away from the shameful things, will we be able to tune out the devil? He can be tuned out. I'm not saying you'll never hear him. I'm sure we'll hear from him again. I'm sure we'll come knocking on our door as much as we possibly can. But I think when we can follow these steps, we can learn to not answer the door when he knocks. We don't need to be distracted by him anymore. Because our goal and our focus is on heaven and serving God. What profit is it for a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? There is nothing on this earth. There is no distraction on this earth that is worth missing out on heaven. There's no distraction the devil can throw at us that will make it worth giving up our eternal souls for God. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, what am I willing to exchange for my soul? It might mean making some changes in our life. It might mean doing things that we're not really comfortable with. It might mean making these major changes in our lives, or little changes in our lives, to make sure that our focus remains on God, to make sure our time is not wasted, and to make sure that our goals and our priorities stay where God wants them to. When I looked at that little thing on Facebook that will track your time, and I saw it was over an hour and a half, I asked Brooke, I said, did you know you could do this? She went and checked hers. Mine was better than hers. But then we started a little competition. Because Brooke and I get competitive on these things. I said, my goal this year is to stay under 30 minutes a day. I thought that was a pretty noble goal. Less than 30 minutes a day on my phone, on Facebook. That's cutting down by about an hour. That's pretty good. And so I started. About 3 or 4 days in, Brooke said, so what's your time right now? I had no idea she was doing this. She says, what's your time now? I said, I'm at about 34 minutes. I'm just about there to my goal. She goes, I'm at 4. Are you kidding me? Well, I can't let her outdo me. So I'm down to 3. Brooke says, what did our parents fill their time with if they weren't on their phone? Isn't that sad? That's the generation we're in. What do you fill your time with? I mean, you know how much time we have now? It's silly, I know. Just get off your phone, a distraction. You know how much time you have to just sit and talk to your kids, and talk to each other, pick up a book, a magazine. We become addicted to these distractions. I know that's something as simple as a little phone. But unfortunately, sin is much more powerful than that. Where we have become so addicted to the sin and distractions in this world, it's hard to give up. I understand. And I think we're all there. What are you willing to exchange for your soul? Are you willing to give up the sin? Are you willing to give up the distractions? Are you willing to give up your life? Because that's what Jesus has asked us to do. To give up our life. To get rid of the sin and the distractions of this world. And to live a new life in service to Him. Can we do it? All right. There's times I picked up my phone, got ready on Facebook, and I said, nope, not going to do it. There might be a time right now where you're thinking about sin. Tell yourself, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to turn away. I'm going to turn around and focus on God. I'm going to get in God's Word. You know what? Instead of getting on your phone, instead of partaking whatever sin it is that's distracting you, get your Bible. Open your Bible instead of opening the phone. Say a prayer. Work on your relationship with God. Get into His Word. Establish yourself with Him. Be devoted to Him. I think it's amazing what we'll find out we can do in all of our free time. Do you need to make a change today? Do you need to get rid of distractions? Do you need to get rid of those distractions and let Jesus fill the void and fill the hole? He will. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. We just need to obey Him and believe in Him, confess that He is the Son of God, and repent, and we can be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And that can wipe away all those sins. You don't have to be distracted anymore. You can come to Jesus now as we stand and as we sing. Jesus.